And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our program. Always a pleasure to have you with us on Saturday afternoons. We're live in the studio today, so if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call 321-1670, 321-1670. And remember, this program is always posted on carolcobyradio.com. So if you listen and you want to pass it along to someone else, or you want to re-listen to the program because every word was just so scintillating, you're invited to do so at Carol Coby, KOBY radio.com. And also in the studio today is Jason Stapleman, who actually gets us on the air and keeps us on the air and keeps us sane at the same time. And Jason, when you're not here working for me, I hear you all weekend long on the weather. And, okay, which button do I push here? There we go. Okay.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm sitting here working the board, but Jason obviously is my tutor. Thank you. All weekend long when I'm listening to the radio, I hear you and you do these thorough weather reports. So please tell us what the weather is going to be.
For here or Chicago?
Both.
Here tomorrow, we're going to have a high of 13. It's going to be a little chilly yet. We'll struggle to get up to 13 by 12, 1 o'clock. In Chicago, temperatures are going to be around 20, 21 degrees, light winds. So it should be perfect for Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball.
To win.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking, because you said here is Chicago, well, I'm interested in both places because we are heading to Chicago.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, we'll see. As you know, my daughter and son-in-law live in Chicago, and my son-in-law especially and his family, they're huge, huge Bears fans. And we are invited to watch the game tomorrow at his parents' home. And he has five brothers and sisters and all of their family. And so I have my green and gold Packers sweater packed. and I'm braving myself to actually wear it to their home. So we're going to be watching the game in Bears country with surrounded by Bears fans, and it's just going to be my husband and me meekly sitting in the corner. But so I wanted to know what the weather was going to be in both places. And it might be really, really cold for us, no matter what the temperature is, if the Packers do exceptionally well, which I think they're going to. I have really good vibes about this game. What about you?
I hope so. I was a little worried with it being in Chicago. If it was in a dome or warmer weather, I think they'd win by 3-4 touchdowns, but it'll be a good game. So
it will be, and what a perfect matchup for the marketers. Yeah. I mean, to have the Bears and the Packers playing, and so if somehow the Packers don't pull it through, I because of my family, and their connection with the Bears, I'll be happy for them. So anyway, it's going to be a fairly nice day. It's winter. It's winter in the northern states, so we can't expect much better than this.
Yeah, we lucked out. It could have been a lot worse. Could have been 13 below for the high. So
yeah, and cloudy and all that. But it's crisp and sunny. So great. Well, thank you. We're here now. You're going to learn. We're going to really depart from football, and here in the middle of winter, we're going to talk about flowers, specifically orchids. This is something that I have never done, a type of program we've never done, and it'll be 9 years that this program has been on the air this spring, and I've never talked about orchids. So this is a first, and it is really an exciting topic. I had no idea there is so much to orchids. And the reason we're going to talk about orchids is because Orchid Quest is coming to Madison the weekend of February 5th and 6th, and it's going to be at the Alliant Energy Center. This is the 24th year, and this happens to be the largest orchid show in the upper Midwest. So it's not some little small show in a medium-sized city, but people from, I don't know, we'll talk about it with our guests, but I think it's at least five, six, seven states actually come to Madison for the event, as well as speakers from outside of the Madison area and across the country. So let me introduce you to my guests. First of all, here in the studio are two members of the Madison Orchid Growers Guild, And Judy Stevenson is here, and she is co-chair for the fourth year of this year's Orchid Quest. And she's been into orchids for about 8 years. And before we went on the air, I asked Judy, well, how did you get into orchids? Well, she had an orchid plant, and this is kind of, I think this has got to be everybody's story. I can certainly relate to this. She had an orchid plant, and you know, when she got it, it had a beautiful blossom. It bloomed, and it never bloomed again. And so she decided to join the Orchid Growers Guild to find out how to get a bloom again. And she accomplished that and became very much of an advocate of orchids and growing them and collecting them and being a part of the orchid world is now a part of her life. Also joining us is Heidi Wetmore, and she is newer to the orchid world, but nobody can be more enthusiastic than you, Heidi. You're one of the newer members of the Orchid Growers Guild, and in fact, you're going to be speaking at this year's Orchid Quest on Vandas,
correct?
Which is one type of orchid, and you've only been in it for about, well, for less than 3 years, and you live in Madison with your fiancé and two cats, and now you're a growing collection of orchids. And you're trying to tame your enthusiasm a little bit before the orchids take over your household.
Sure, yes.
And on the telephone is one of the outstanding guest speakers that will be at this year's Orchid Quest. Fred, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, that's the voice of Fred Clark. And Fred Clark has been growing orchids for over 30 years and has been hybridizing them for 25 of those years. And he lives in Vista, California. And he has Sunset Valley Orchids, and that's located in the San Diego area. And Fred is coming. He's going to be a speaker at this year's Orchid Quest. And you are also an accredited judge in the Pacific South judging region. And your plants have received hundreds of quality awards from the American Orchid Society. And your presentation here is entitled... what is it entitled? Because you've got to pronounce the words. They're very fancy varieties of orchids, Fred.
Right. It's about the current trend with a group of orchids called Cycnoches, Mormoni, and Catasetums.
Oh.
And they're not widely grown by the, you know, in the, you wouldn't see them for sale at like Home Depot and things like that. They truly are plants for the hobbyist. So they have a warm place in many growers' hearts.
Well, one thing I know about the Cycnoches is that, isn't that the root word of swan?
It is, actually. It means the name Cycnoches from the Latin reminds you, or should remind you, of arching swan neck.
Arching swan neck, okay. And
that's for all of us who remember our Latin classes.
Well, that's what I thought. It was the root word for swan. So you said that this is kind of a growing trend in these orchids that you're going to be talking about. Do orchids come in and out of season as far as appeal is concerned? I mean, right now in 2011, are some orchid varieties really hot and others aren't as popular?
Well, you know, in terms of the total market, what's really hot are the phalaenopsis, which have been around a while, dendrobiums in particular, and oncidiums. And those really make excellent house plants for people. And those probably are the largest selling orchids in the marketplace. And there's another group of orchids that aren't quite as widely distributed, but are very close to the hearts of the hobbyists, things like Cattleyas and Vandas, what Heidi's going to talk on, Catasetinae. And Paphiopedilums would all be things that would be more for hobbyists.
How many varieties of orchids are there?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, but there's over 30,000 different species of orchids.
Really?
It's amazing. And they range in habit from as far north as Antarctica to as far south as the tip of Chile.
They're
widely distributed all over the United States. And all over the world.
And how indigenous are orchids to the United States?
Well, there's a whole group of orchids actually native to the area where you guys are at. They call them the slipper orchids, the lady slipper orchids. And they grow in the bogs around Lake Michigan, and there are quite a few up there. Now, down here in San Diego, where it's more of desert-like, we have about four or five different orchid species that grow along the sides of creek beds.
I've got to ask and have Heidi and Judy join in the conversation. You probably want to say hello to Fred. I know you're looking forward to his upcoming visit to Madison.
Hi, Fred. This is Heidi. We're super excited to have you come to Orchid Quest.
Hi, Fred.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
Hi, Judy and Heidi.
We hope you're bringing the California weather that weekend, too.
Yes.
Well,
what?
I've been watching the weather lately. I saw this. Looks like it's going to be about 15 degrees this week, so that sounds a lot better than what it was last week.
Yeah, it was a little nippy. I mean, this is kind of a heat wave. What is the temperature there, Fred? I mean, rub it
right
into
now,
us.
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's 76 degrees outside, and we think it's going to get about 78.
Oh, my goodness. And I suppose the sun is shining, and there's a little breeze.
Yeah, it's a crystal clear. We have this condition called the Santa Ana, where the winds blow off the mountains, and so it's just beautiful. This is a great time to be in Southern California.
I guess. Except if you're here for the Packers-Bears game. That's big-time news around here.
Right.
Now, maybe Heidi or Judy, you can answer this question, too. What makes orchids so special?
That's a good question. I think there's something about orchids. They're a bit mysterious, a bit sexy at times, and they're just completely exotic and different than any other kind of flower. You have orchids that look like butterflies. You have orchids that resemble moss. You have orchids that look like little octopuses. And it's just, there's something for everyone. And it's so varied and different. You could grow something different every week and still not grow them all.
Well, I know if you're going to take something special, if you're invited to a friend's home and take something special, a really outstanding gift is to take them an orchid and give them a gift of an orchid. And it's considered, I don't know, is it in the category of roses or is it in a category all by itself? There are some flowers that are special for different occasions. And Judy, where does orchids fall in the as far as a category of what kind of gift it would be appropriate for?
Well, I think it's the best gift of all because it's one that blooms for much longer than, say, a flower arrangement or even if you take a dozen roses, oftentimes they're gone in a week. Phalaenopsis, each one's different, but the Phalaenopsis that we have here today, this could bloom for 2 to 4 months, and occasionally they'll even bloom for 6 months.
Well, there's, and what Judy is referencing is this beautiful, and Phalaenopsis, is that how you pronounce it? And it's what we think of as an orchid, the purple orchid, the standard color of orchid. It is absolutely gorgeous. And now this, if it's cared for properly, could stay in bloom for, you said, up to 6 months?
It's possible. Mm-hmm.
And then when it loses its bloom, how many times can it rebloom?
Well, sometimes it actually will send another branch off of this particular stalk that we have here, and so you'll have another bloom from this stalk. But it's different. I mean, Heidi gets hers to bloom every 6 months. Mine bloom about once a year or so.
And when you bloom every 6 months, then how many years can you have a plant that will continue to bloom every 6 months?
Well, orchids can last for hundreds of years. So if you can figure out a way to make them happy, they can be lifelong companions.
Oh, so in place of having a pet, you could have an orchid.
Sure.
Fred, how did you get into growing orchids?
You know, I started growing orchids when I was 18 years old. And the neighbor lady, she recruited me to repot orchids for her. And she was, and I guess I worked cheap would be the best way to say it. And she paid me with orchid magazines.
and that seemed to be appealing to you. You kept doing it.
Right. And there's an organization called the American Orchid Society that produces this publication. It's really the main organization in the United States for all orchid societies and clubs. So these orchid magazines have published orchid shows in them, and I went to an orchid show, and I spent my life savings, as my mom would say, on orchids, about $300.
Really?
And she was pretty sure that I wouldn't continue growing orchids, you know, at 18, you know, she knew that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew exactly what I wanted. And so that started it, and I've been growing orchids ever since. It's over 30 years now that I've been doing that, and it's been a fantastic hobby. You know, there's so many varieties of orchids, like we were talking about, that you can, with just a small collection, you can bloom something different every day of the year and just be awestruck by the beauty and their rarity. Orchids, you know, the flowers are so exotic, but when you get involved with them and you learn about how the plants grow, they're so unique. It's just so intriguing. You just can't stop learning more and more. You get addicted to them. Right, Heidi?
Oh, yes.
Well, and Heidi, what is your story? How did you get involved? You've only been involved for about 3 years now.
Well, I was at Whole Foods buying my fiancé a muffin, and I took a wander around the store and saw some orchids, and I saw this very small plant. It was a Phalaenopsis, but it had about 30 buds on it, and only, I think, 4 or 5 were open, and it caught my eye, and I instantly fell in love with it. I'd really never grown anything before. I had a begonia before that, but it fell off the counter, so that was short-lived. And I took it home, and my fiancé kind of looked at me and said, "You spent $20 on that? You don't even know how to grow it." I said, "Yes, but I'm going to learn. It's beautiful. I have a camera. I'll take pictures. This is my new thing. It really is." And he's kind of like, sure it is, you know. And I started reading all about them, and I found out that Orchids Garden Center Nursery, formerly Orchids by the Acres, I looked through the phone book because I read you need orchid fertilizer to grow your orchid, and I promptly went out there. And it didn't take long before I started establishing a good-sized collection for a small apartment.
Oh, my goodness. I am just amazed at the personal relationship that you all have with orchids, and it truly is. I mean, I was kidding. It's like having a pet, but it's only half humorous. It really sounds like it. We're talking about orchids today on All About Living here on 1670 WTDY. Orchid Quest is coming to Madison the weekend of February 5th and 6th. It's the largest orchid show in the upper Midwest, and you are invited to attend and see if you can catch the bug also. I love this saying, you know that you are addicted to orchids when you don't want to go on vacation when your favorites are about to bloom. You'd rather stay home with your orchids instead of going to England or anywhere else for that matter on vacation because you do not trust anyone else to take as good care of them as you would. So we'll be back with our continuing conversation on orchids after these messages from our sponsors. This segment of All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back with our program on orchids today, and my guest, one of them, Judy Stevenson, who is co-chair of the fourth year she's co-chair of the 24th year of Orchid Quest, which is coming to Madison February 5th and 6th at the Alliant Energy Center, the largest orchid show in the upper Midwest. It's really a spectacular event to be hosted here in Madison, and what a better thing to do is there in February in the midst of winter than to go and be surrounded by these lovely, lovely orchids. And Judy, you were just saying that to some people, growing orchids is like eating one peanut. You can't stop it, just one. Once you've tasted the experience of growing and collecting orchids, it's in your blood, and you just it creates an adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. Judy Stevenson is here, as well as Heidi Wetmore. Heidi is one of the newer members of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison, which is coordinating the Orchid Quest show, and she is also going to be a speaker. She's going to be talking about Vandas, which is one of the varieties of orchids. And on the telephone is Fred Clark, and he is coming all the way from California to be one of the major speakers at Orchid Quest. And Fred owns Sunset Valley Orchids, and you have been growing orchids for over 30 years. You are an accredited judge in the Pacific South judging region. You've done a lot of judging of orchids, right, Fred?
I have.
What do you look for? What makes an orchid a blue ribbon winner?
Well, when you judge an orchid, it's similar to like if you were judging a floral display and arrangement, mm-hmm. where you look for composition of the individual segments of the flower. You look at the arrangement, the color. And then with orchid judging, there's also a criteria called type and breeding, where through an understanding of the parent, the parental stock, and the makeup of that flower that you're looking at, when you know what the two parents are and then you look at the progeny, the progeny needs to be an improvement over the parent. And so it's important to have an understanding of the background in breeding as well. So you take the breeding into effect as well as what you're looking at, the color, the shape, the form, the arrangement, conformation.
Are orchids difficult to grow and to take care of?
You know, it's not that they're so difficult. But they're special. They're different. They don't have roots that work like normal roots that grow in the soil. Most orchid plants are epiphytics. They're epiphytes, which means that they grow on the surface of trees, and some are lithophytic, where they grow on the surfaces of rocks, and just a few are terrestrial. So since the vast majority of orchids grow on trees, the roots don't live in the soil. They live in the atmosphere, and so the roots dry out quickly after watering. And so when you water an orchid, you want to make sure it dries out between waterings, and this is important. If you have a normal house plant and you don't water it, mm-hmm. it'll start to wilt, and it'll give you immediate feedback that you need to water again because it's wilting. Orchid plants, if you didn't water your orchid for 2 weeks for some reason or 3 weeks, the plant probably would not die, but it wouldn't wilt either. And so that's where orchids become tricky for people because the plant doesn't give you any feedback. You have to learn how to understand how to water your plants. And once you figure that out, all of a sudden orchids become quite easy to grow.
If they don't wilt, how do you know when they have died?
Well, the technique that I encourage people to do is water your plant and then pick it up. And it's growing in a pot. You pick up the pot and you can feel the weight when it's wet. And then each day, pick it up and you can feel the change as it over time. And then when it feels really light, then you pick it up when it's light, then you water it, then you pick it up a minute later and feel it heavy. And after a while, you'll develop a sense of the weight of the pot and the look of the potting media to determine. But typically, you would say that most orchids would be watered about once a week in the winter months and maybe twice a week in the summer months. But still, you want to keep an eye for how wet or dry the potting media is before you decide to water again.
Well, I do have an orchid at home that hasn't bloomed in a long time, and it's sitting in, it's kind of like wood chips and a rock combination or whatever in a little pot, and it has some green, really vibrant leaves on the bottom, two or three, and nothing happens. I water it and I soak it and then I let it dry, you know, but nothing happens. So I'm just thinking maybe that's dead and I don't know it.
Well, the leaves are green, you said, right?
Mm-hmm. They're green.
And can you see that new leaves are growing?
No.
No.
It stays the same.
Once you get over the watering part, the next most important element is finding the right location where there's enough sunlight to grow your plant.
Okay.
And if you're growing indoors, it's a bit darker than outdoors would generally be. So you want to think about having your plant receive 2 to 3 hours of direct sunlight early in the morning, maybe before 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Because the orchid plants live in filtered direct light. They don't live in deep shade. Mm-hmm. They live in filtered direct light. And so in the home is deep shade generally, so that's why you need to keep them near a window where you can get some morning or afternoon light, no midday sun. Or what a lot of hobbyists will do is they will get a light cart with fluorescent fixtures on it, and they'll put the plants on this light cart that'll give that extra light that will allow the plant to photosynthesize and produce flowers.
All right, so you need at least 3 hours and either the very early morning sun or the late afternoon sun. So east or west exposure would be best, right?
That's right. Yeah, southeast or southwest probably might be best. But due south often is too bright, and certainly north is too dark.
Mm-hmm. But through the window, we're talking about filtered, then having it inside and near a window that produces the southeast or the southwest light would be very good.
That's right. It would. The thing to watch out for is that there's not much air movement in the home like there would be outside in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're moving your plant closer to the light, when you see the sunlight hitting the plant, if you reach down and feel the leaf,
mm-hmm.
the leaf should be feel room temperature. It shouldn't be hot to the touch. If it feels hot, then it might be just getting a little bit too much light.
And what about feeding an orchid?
Well, orchids in nature aren't heavy feeders. You know, they live up on those trees as epiphytes. And so the fertilizer that they receive comes in the form of any leaf litter that might collect around the base of the plant and decompose, maybe some rotting fruit, maybe if they got lucky and a bird flew by and relieved itself right on the plant, might provide some fertilizer. And so orchids don't require a lot of fertilizer. The best way to think about it is to use one level teaspoon in a gallon of water of fertilizer, and that's all you need. And so I'll take a one-gallon jug, put one teaspoon in it, and then I'll use that water to water with, and then I'll remix it as needed.
So do you ever just water it without the teaspoon of fertilizer in it?
I do, but I like to put a little bit of fertilizer in my water every time I water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the plant, it's just easy to remember, I guess, primarily. Because if you switch back and forth, then you have to remember what you did last week or whatever. So I just use a small amount every watering, and I find that gives excellent results.
So that's a really good easy rule of thumb. Just always have it in there, but just a small amount so you don't overpower the plant. What about putting orchids outside? Is that a good idea?
Well, in the summer months where you guys live, it's pretty hot and pretty humid. Well, not that hot, but it's
well, some days. Try us in August.
And so in the summer, once your night temperatures are staying above maybe 55 degrees, 58 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you'd be able to move a lot of your orchid plants outside and then grow them out there in the summer. That brighter light that they're going to receive, the humidity and so forth, and all the fresh air that they're going to get, they're going to do quite well. And then they'll be stronger, and they'll be better overwintering in the home or in your basement, wherever you're growing. And lots of growers up in your neighborhood grow in that way.
Well, that makes it nice where you can have them outside and inside. And so if you spend more time outdoors, you've got your orchids out there to add to the environment. Now, with orchids, I was going to ask something about the growing outside. Oh, I was reading somewhere where if there's a little breeze, that this is helpful so that they don't get diseases or fungi or something foreign in them.
That's right, yeah. Air movement's really important to an orchid plant as well. Watering being the most important, then light, having the proper light level being the second most important, temperature, that you have the right temperature range for the orchid that you're growing, and then finally would be air and air movement. In nature, since they're epiphytes, they grow up high in the trees where there's lots of air movement, and the orchids have evolved in an environment where there's lots of natural air movement around them. And so the plants that we grow in our greenhouses or in our home and so forth, they do better if you can give them lots of air movement.
We are, I know we're going to lose you in just a couple of minutes that we're going to be saying goodbye to you, but I don't want to leave you without having you tell us about your Fred Clarkera After Dark, The Blackest Orchid Seen. What is that all about?
Well, I felt pretty fortunate to have that happen. About 8 years ago, I'm a plant hybridizer. That's what I love to. I love to breed orchids, and I've always been thinking about trying to breed dark, dark, dark flowers. Not necessarily black, but I made this cross, and some of the young plants bloomed out black, and that's called Fred Clarkera After Dark, and one of the best ones is called Black Pearl, and Black Pearl is just beautiful black flowers, perfectly arranged, It's received the highest award from the American Orchid Society, which is called a first-class certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Literally tens of thousands of entries into the American Orchid Society judging program there are every year, there's 10 to 12, 13, 14 that will get a first-class certificate. So it's like getting a gold medal in the Olympics.
And you've received nine of these.
Yeah, there have been quite a few.
Wow.
To the Darks, yes. So it's been a super successful hybrid. The myth of the black orchid is no longer.
It's no longer a myth. It's real.
A myth, yeah.
Will we see the black orchid here in Madison at the Orchid Quest show?
I am going to be talking about them, and so I will show some in my presentation, and there may be some growers that have some blooming that will bring them. I was at a show in Florida last week, and I saw maybe 10 or 15 just beautiful black ones, so I'll bet there's a grower up there who's got one flowering, and I'll put it in the display.
Well, I'll be asking Judy and Heidi about that, because I know there are going to be a lot of people displaying their orchids, having them judged, and also they're going to be vendors at Orchid Quest, so lots of opportunities. If someone is enticed by our conversation and hearing about Orchid Quest and goes to Orchid Quest for the first time and thinks, oh, I think I would like to begin to buy an orchid and get started and see if I really enjoy doing this, what would be a good orchid to begin?
You know, some of the best beginning orchids are Phalaenopsis.
Mm-hmm.
They grow well under the low light conditions of the home. The next would be Epaphiopedilum, a Maudii type or a mottled leaf type of Epaphiopedilum. These two grow in some of the thicker canopies in the jungles and forests where they live, and they really are well suited for the home. And they've got rewarding flowers that last a long time. You heard Judy talk about lasting 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So Phalaenopsis make a wonderful purchase. They also make an excellent gift. You were talking about that, a beautiful gift to bring, a housewarming gift or a dinner gift. Bring somebody a beautiful Phalaenopsis. It really is nice.
Well, that is my sense of an orchid. I have this one orchid plant that doesn't bloom, so that's my whole experience. It's not a success story. But when I think of an orchid, that is truly a special flower and a special gift to take to someone, and they are beautiful. Now, the Phalaenopsis, the one that we have here in the studio, is purple. Are there other colors as well?
Oh, yeah. The breeding of Phalaenopsis has really developed some wonderful things. They have yellows, there's red, white, pink, they're candy stripes. They're white flowers that are blotched purple and burgundy. It's just fantastic what the breeders have done. That's why they make excellent plants to collect, because you can have a variety of wonderful different things. They're exotic, they're tropical, they flower in February and March, right when you want to see some color.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of all that, the gray and snow.
And yes, and it really does. It seems to be getting grayer and grayer in February and into March. So this would be a perfect time to have the bright colors of the variety of orchids somewhere in your home. Well, Fred, pardon? Go ahead.
This event, you know, the event that they're having here, the Orchid Show, is really nice. So that's a great thing to get out of the house and just go immerse yourself in some beautiful orchids and beautiful colors, and it'll be a great day for anyone who comes.
And you are speaking at 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, February 5th. And
that's right.
Sinoches, is it Mormodes?
Mormodes.
Mormodes and Catacetums.
And I'm going to cover all the details about the black orchid, the Fred Clark R After Dark, in that talk.
Oh, that would be really...
And he has amazing pictures with his talks, too. So don't miss Fred Clark.
Right. And don't miss you either, Heidi. We're going to talk more about that after we take our break. Fred, thank you so much for joining us. Go back into your 78-degree sunshine with the Santa Ana breezes. And we'll just sit here and say, go Packers. Thank you. Thank you so much. And everyone is looking forward to your forthcoming visit to Madison on February 5th and 6th at the Orchid Quest 2011 Alliant Energy Center. Thank you, Fred Clark. And we're going to stop now for this break and message from our sponsors. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here, online at homehealthunited.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, if you're looking for something to do to escape the winter blues and have some color and enthusiasm in your life, Orchid Quest is coming to Madison on the weekend of February 5th and 6th in the exhibition hall at the Alliance Center. And in the studio with me is Judy Stevenson, who is the co-chair for the fourth year in a row of this year's Orchid Quest. It's their 24th year of having Orchid Quest, the largest orchid show in the upper Midwest. So it's really a magnificent event. And also joining us today is Heidi Wetmore. And Heidi is a newer member of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison. 3 years as a collector and grower, she ran into a beautiful orchid. Was it at Whole Foods? You were buying a muffin for your fiance about 3 years ago. And you got sidetracked. And
I still got the muffin.
You still
though.
Got the muffin, and you came home with a beautiful orchid that you immediately bonded with.
Yes.
And since then, you have taken off like gangbusters with orchids. You knew nothing about growing them, how to keep them alive, how to keep the blossoms. You just looked at this and you wanted this as part of your life, not just for that one plant, but to continue to have the exhilaration. Mm-hmm. So tell me, from that one plant, how did you go beyond that?
Well, like I said, I went out to Orchids Garden Center to buy fertilizer. And actually, the second orchid I bought is what I'll be speaking on Sunday, and those are Vandas. And Vandas are really interesting. They're completely crazy. They look like something right out of the jungle. They have huge, showy flowers that just look like something, I don't know. They just really caught my attention, and I talked to the orchid grower, Chuck, and I said, do you think I could grow this? And he looked at me quite seriously and he said, can you water it every day? And I said, oh, yes. And so that was my second orchid. And then after learning more about them, I realized, well, in the summer, they can survive in my living room, but we have radiators and they aren't going to like it much. So I decided to get some lights after reading about it, and now my dining room is quite beautiful. I have two craft tables arranged in an L shape, and I've hung T5 lights, and so they don't get any sunlight. It's all artificial, but they bloom regularly, and they're quite happy, and I love them.
When you say they bloom regularly, how many times and for how long?
It depends on the type of orchid. So my Phalaenopsis, like the one here in the studio, I get those to bloom twice a year. Each spike will last from 4 to 6 months for me. And my Vandas, 20% of my collection is Vandas. So I have a great affinity for them. And I can get them to bloom 3 times a year. So although the flowers generally last for around 2 months, so you don't get as much out of them as the Phalaenopsis, but since they bloom a bit more frequently, I find them just as rewarding. And it just depends. I kind of have an eclectic collection. I also have some. I have an Encyclia cochleata, which is the cockleshell orchid, and that blooms year-round for me. I always have flowers on it. And I also have a Cochleanthes, and that has anywhere from 4 to 9 flowers on it year-round. So, and they're not hard as long as I keep them wet. They're constantly in bloom, and so it really adds some color because we live in a very small apartment, and I think it would be a bit drab without them, but it makes it very exciting.
Well, I can imagine the beauty of all those colors. You water them a lot. Now, Fred Clark, who is going to be a speaker coming from his orchid, Sunset Valley Orchids in Vista, California, and he will be a guest speaker at the Orchid Quest. He was saying that you water them and then they should dry out.
Mm-hmm. It's very important that they dry out in between waterings, because what happens with most orchids, if the roots do not dry out in between watering, they just stay wet all the time. And the downside to that is they won't throw new root tips. And so you'll have an eventual decline of the plant because you'll have less vegetative growth. And so the trick to doing that, since I grow them under really bright lights, what bright light I grow them under T5 fluorescent lights. And the effect that bright light has on orchids is that it will increase their metabolism. So if you can increase their metabolism, they also need more water. So if you're growing under the windowsill with a phalaenopsis, you can water it once a week and it'll do just fine. Since I'm growing them under higher light conditions and I have a fan growing and they have enough air movement so the roots dry out in between, I can easily water them every other day, and I do that with my whole collection. And since some of them like to be more moist than others, I just adjust the potting media so that some stay more wet and some dry out quicker. Or there's a type that doesn't like to have wet feet, but it puts off something called runners, and they like to be moist. And so I grow them in shallow pots, so the mother plant doesn't have wet feet, but the runners, which are kind of like baby plants, I put moss on the surface so that stays more moist. So you just kind of play around with different things. Well, I like to putz.
Well, you've done more than play around. You've had to have taken a lot of classes.
Well, it's mostly internet classes or, you know, as far as just reading articles online. My fiance is a scientist, so he looks at things in a very matter-of-fact way. And I think with orchids, I've kind of taken after him with that. If I'm going to try something new, I definitely want to have a control group so I can test it and know that what I'm doing is actually improving them and not, you know, just a myth I'm buying into.
Well, I chuckle when you talk about metabolism and water. It's that you make them come to life and they're like people. Do you find that some, they have personalities of their own and some respond better than others?
Honestly, I have nicknames for some of them. So yes, I would say some of them have small personalities and some have very big personalities. So.
Well, tell me, what's going to go on at Orchid Quest besides hearing your talk on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock? And I love your title, To Grow or Not to Grow? Vanda is the question. So besides your talk, and there are other talks, there's one at 11:30 on Saturday, Native Orchids of Wisconsin, 1 o'clock on Saturday, the February 5th, Troubleshooting Your Orchids. And then 2:30 p.m., Fred Clark from California, Sunset Valley Orchids, is going to be talking. Sunday, 11:30 a.m., How to Repot Orchids Successfully. I bet that's a really popular workshop or presentation. And then, of course, concluding the grand finale, Heidi Wetmore at 1 o'clock, To Grow or Not to Grow, Vanda is the question. So tell me, Judy, Heidi, join in, whomever wants to talk about what Orchid Quest has to offer.
Last year we had a survey. Actually, it's a door prize that people can enter. And one of the questions we asked is, what would you like to learn about next year? And the reason why we have Mary Stewart talking about how to repot orchids is because that's a request from the people that were there last year. So this is brand new. For me, it's a total learning experience each year because...
How many orchids will a person walking in... will they be able to see? And I know some are just exhibition. I mean, they're not for sale, right?
In the exhibit area, which is Mendota 1 through 4, there will be 800 orchids that we judge between 7 and 10 on Saturday morning before the public comes in. Before you get to the exhibit room, though, there is a vendor area. And those vendors probably will have close to 3,500 orchids that are available for purchase.
And you can purchase them right there and walk out with them.
Yes, mm-hmm. So we have a plant room. If people have plants in bags and they don't want to carry them through the exhibit and with the rest of the vendors. We have a plant room. We have four people in there that volunteer, and they categorize them. And so you can take, it's like they can babysit your orchids while you're shopping. And you can take them there and look around.
And I read somewhere where they are knowledgeable also about packing them, and you can get them safely to your car, safely home without any weather damage, mm-hmm. if the weather is not the best to mm-hmm. get them out to the car. So it's the complete package. Will they be good prices, or are they do they offer?
They'll be good prices. There, we have 23 vendors. Some of those people have pottery. Some of them have a stationery, and there are paintings. But the largest majority are people who are growing orchids. So, yes, I mean...
yes, I was reading you have quilts on display, and are they for sale as well, and some other pieces?
Well, there'll be 10 quilts in the exhibit room, and there'll be 6 pieces of art. And the pieces of art, I think there's 2 pieces of the 6 that are for sale, and then some of the... quilts are for sale, but not as many.
What are the hours of Orchid Quest?
On Saturday, it's from 10 until 5 p.m., and on Sunday, it is from 10 until 4, because there's a Super Bowl afterwards.
That's right. That's Super Bowl Sunday. Well, now talk about having a varied day, a full day of doing something different.
Oh,
yes. Go and see the orchids, and then... hopefully cheer on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. And the admission, let's see, I have it here, is $7, or a 2-day pass is $10. Under 12 is $3 with a paid adult. And do you have a senior rate, or is it
just... Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's Orchid Quest, February 5th and 6th in the Exhibition Hall of the Alliant Energy Center. And we're going to spend our last few minutes with Heidi Wetmore and Judy Stevenson, our guests here in the studio today, right after these messages from our sponsors. And you're listening to All About Living on 1670 WTDY, also available on carolcobyradio.com, carolcoby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. I'm Carol Coby, and we'll be right back after these messages. We're back with our last few minutes with our guests, Heidi Wetmore and Judy Stevenson from the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison. They're getting ready for Orchid Quest, which is coming to Madison February 5th and 6th in the Exhibition Hall at the Alliant Energy Center, the largest orchid show in the Midwest, the 24th year of this orchid show. And there will be, how many orchids are being judged in this Orchid Quest?
There'll be 55 exhibits, and within those exhibits, we're estimating about 800 blooming orchids.
And the judging, they'll each have, what did they, how do they mark? Are they blue ribbons, red ribbons?
What happens is you have to enter your plant, and it's divided up into different genuses. So, like, there's the Vandas, the Phalaenopsis, the Cattleyas, the Dendrobiums. And then that's broken down further, and then they judge each class, and the American Orchid Society, if they feel it deserves a ribbon because of its excellence, that's given. You would know a bit more about it, Judy.
Mm-hmm. We actually get about 40 people together. We have 10 teams, and so... we split them up because there's so many classes. There's 107 classes that are judged. And the very best plant in a certain category receives either a blue, which is first, second, which is red, or white, which is third. And then you go on to the next class. And then from among a group of classes, say 10, 7 or 10, then they choose the best of the show, and then they get an even larger ribbon, and then the ones that are totally outstanding are taken into the judges' room later, and they even break it down even further.
And there's a grand prize you were telling me about in the break, Heidi?
Oh,
We just have a few seconds left, so I need to have you.
In addition, we're having a raffle and a silent auction, and the grand prize for the raffle this year, Paradigm Gardens, is going to be donating a Jumpstart plant stand that comes with a 4-foot T5, so that's a fluorescent light. And if you're into orchids, you can grow your orchids in it. If you want to grow herbs, you can grow herbs. If you have petunias or some sort of indoor thing you want to get going or seedlings, you can give that a shot. So make sure you sign up for the raffle in addition to checking out all the other fantastic things we're offering at Orchid Quest 2011.
Well, this is terrific. Orchid Quest, I've learned so much about orchids. I knew nothing about them except they were beautiful. And Orchid Quest, February 5th, 6th, on the Exhibition Hall, Alliant Energy Center, sponsored by Orchids Garden Center and Nursery, formerly Orchids by the Acres. And to find out more information, I have here a website, orchidguild.org, or call 231-3163. And I'll have this information up on CarolColbyRadio.com.